Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
You're locked on Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. If you're looking for a great mortgage company to help you with your new home purchase, go to Stockton.com.
Coach Madison, Keith Madison, the show is moving to the Super Regionals, a place you have been in your time as a coach. Welcome in.
Yes, sir. Good to be with you guys. I tell you, I hold both of you guys in such high esteem. And like most Kentucky boys, I grew up wanting to play basketball for the Wildcats. And I just had so much fun watching you guys do something I dreamed about doing.
Well, Coach, this time of year has to be very special to you. How many years were you the head baseball coach at Kentucky?
25 years.
25 years. And you made it to the Super Regional.
Well, you know, at that time, they didn't have Super Regionals. They just had Regionals. And we made it to the finals in Stanford, who won the national championship that year and the year before, beat us in the finals of the regional. And we were in a 16 regional, which was unusual. Clemson was the number one seed and we were number three, I think. But you know, it was a different time. It was harder to get in. Only 48 teams were selected. And Stanford beat us, actually beat us twice. We were in the winner's bracket in the double elimination. And a young man by the name of Mike Messina beat us in the championship game. And he turned out to be a pretty good one.
Yeah, he can pitch. There's no doubt about that.
And, Coach, I was telling Dan that one of your players, one of your guys you really liked was the athletic director
Vince
at the University of Louisville.
Yeah. Vince was on that same team that I was just talking about, that where Stanford beat us, and Vince was an integral part of that team and really a good dude and a really good competitor.
Now, the SEC has lost Florida from this tournament so far, but Arkansas is still alive, and Vanderbilt. Would you consider them, and I know you're going out, you usually go out to Omaha, would you consider them to be the favorites going forward?
Absolutely. It's funny you ask that question, because I was just thinking about that a few minutes ago, and Arkansas is ranked number one in the nation and Vanderbilt number four, but the reason I put Vanderbilt in there very close with Arkansas is Vanderbilt has two great pitchers. And I'm not talking about just good pitchers. I'm talking about great pitchers that will be stars in the major leagues if they stay healthy. And once you get into the Super Regionals and then into the College World Series, because of the way the tournaments are set up, you can make a lot of progress with two great pitchers. It's just set up for you that way. And one of Vandy's pitchers is a guy named Jack Leiter. His father, who you see on ESPN a lot, he pitched in the big leagues. And the other guy is Kumar Rocker, and both of those guys will be among the first, I'd say, three or four guys picked in the major league draft this year. They're studs. I mean, they it's not unusual for those guys to strike out. If they pitch seven innings, they may strike out 14, 16 guys. They have power arms, and that usually bodes well for a team once you get into tournament play. So Vanderbilt, even though they are ranked 4 or 5 in most polls, they've got to be one of the favorites just because they have those two great arms. And then Arkansas has just been doing it all year, and they have one of the top pitchers in college baseball too, a guy named Kevin Copps, who's really good, really a dynamic pitcher who also should pitch in the big league. So those are my two favorites, Arkansas and Vanderbilt, going into the Super Regionals. And those are my two favorites to win the national championship, one of those two teams.
Coach, let's talk a little bit about Kentucky baseball. You mentioned, and you've seen the game evolve, but it looks like to me, with all of these kids being able to throw 95, 96, 97 miles an hour, if you don't have a good pitching staff in college or major leagues, it's going to be difficult. And it looks like Kentucky's had some great hitting teams recently, and maybe not so hot on the pitching side.
Yeah, you know, a few years ago they had you know, the big 6'11 guy Sean Jelly, and then they had another guy Justin Lewis. They've had some really good arms, but recently Zach Thompson, who was a first round pick, was a great arm, but maybe just not the depth that some of the other teams have when it comes to the power arms. And this year the team really had a blow delivered to them when their most experienced pitcher in the starting rotation in SEC games, Mason Hazelwood, a big lefty, he went down and had to have Tommy John surgery. So what that does is that takes, you know, they had to take a guy out of their bullpen and fill in the gap. So it just really, it was a tough, tough blow. And you have to figure that I think Hazelwood missed like 8 Southeastern Conference starts. So as good as he was, you have to think that he would have made the difference in whether Kentucky got in the NCAA regional or not. I think with a healthy Mason Hazelwood and the lineup they had a really good offensive club, I think they would have been in there. And then you look at Louisville. You know, Louisville was, if I'm not mistaken, they were 7-2 against teams that are playing in the Super Regional this weekend.
So wow.
Two good teams that just barely missed getting in this year, but don't count them out in the future because they'll be there.
Yeah, I the last time, Coach, that I saw you in person pre-COVID was at a Kentucky baseball game, and what a beautiful facility UK has down there now. I bet you wish you had that to recruit to.
Oh, Dan, I still remember, I think you were playing for the Nuggets, and I was trying to raise money to improve the facility. And I still, you won't remember this, but you and I were sitting on these little wooden bleachers at the old field, and I was sort of casting my vision, and you were supportive. You supported us in that venture, but I remember talking to you and finding out that day, this was back in the 80s, that you were a big Cubs fan.
Huge.
And so, you know, we were, after that, I felt more relaxed around you, and I said, hey, this is a baseball guy. And then, of course, I've been to some Reds games with Mike, and he's a baseball guy, too. So most people out there think you guys are huge basketball guys. Deep down inside, you're a baseball guy, just like me.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Keith, they always say your first love is your best love, your longest lasting love. And when I was growing up, I was fortunate enough, one of my best friend's mom would take us and sit in the bleachers 5 or 6 summers a year at the Cub game. And I grew up thinking I was going to take Ernie Banks' place at shortstop. So So that didn't quite work out. But to this day, the Cubs are still my favorite sports team.
Well, I tell you what, you were a Cubs fan back then in an era where they had some, you know, they didn't win championships. They had some great players, and they were really fun to follow. And to me, that was the golden era of Major League Baseball, really.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think the Cubs, if I'm correct, I think the Cubs have six retired jerseys, and four of them played at the exact same time. So it's amazing that they didn't do better as a team.
Yeah, one of my good friends, Donnie Kessinger, was a part of those teams, and yeah, they had some good ones. And Wrigley Field, what a special place!
Yeah, you're a friend of Donnie Kessinger?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Ole Miss, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
he played basketball at Ole Miss as well.
Sure did.
Well, I had the fortune of breaking the single game record and the career scoring record our senior year at Ole Miss, and my wife was there and my father was there, but I was most excited about Donnie Kessinger being there.
Yeah.
You know, Keith, I met Donnie many years ago after that fact, and he was in the financial planning business, and I was in the real estate business, and we got to talking. He remembered that game. He remembered
really?
Being at that game. Yeah.
Yeah.
The nicest guy in the world, Keith. Nicest guy in the world.
Really, really good guy. Really good guy. He still lives in Oxford, and it's interesting. You said he was in the investment. I think he's helping his wife in the real estate business, which is booming, believe it or not, in Oxford, Mississippi right now.
Well, I'll have to tell you this now. Issel has a son-in-law who played baseball at Northwestern. Now, he's going to have a grandson play. He's a pitcher, a red-headed pitcher, Coach Madison, going to Hawaii.
Wow, man. I met him. He was at the game with you, right, Dan?
Yeah. Yeah, and he was the reason I had to pay for the tickets. I didn't even get free tickets to go to the UK
baseball
game.
That one hurt him, too. That one hurt him.
Keith, I got to tell you a funny story. Tuesday, he's pitching. The high school season in Colorado has been extended because of COVID, and I think they play their last regular season game tonight, and then the state tournament begins this weekend. But I want to ask you if you've ever heard this rule. So he's pitching, and he's got this full head of red hair. And so the first batter is up, and about the second or third pitch, he pushes hard off the mound, and his hat falls off. And the umpire comes up and says, that's the first warning. The next time your hat falls off, you're out of the game. And so the coach comes running out of the dugout, and they're having this discussion, and Ben goes into the dugout while they're talking, and he gets some white adhesive tape and tapes his hat to his head, and he pitches the rest of the game with a piece of adhesive tape around his chin and up over his hat.
Oh, I tell you, you stay in this game long enough, and you realize you'll never see it all. But I've never heard that before. There was a major league pitcher, I can't remember who it was, that always his hat always fell off. But well, you know, that might, I guess the umpire thought that was distracting to the hitter. But I've never heard that before.
Well, while we have you here, you've picked your favorites to win it, and they happen to come out of the SEC. Do you have a couple teams we need to keep our eye on as we go forward, starting with the Super Regionals and then Omaha, that you think are teams who could, given the right draw, win this thing or at least go deep?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. There's, there's six SEC teams in the 16-team Super Regionals. So that tells you how really great the Southeastern Conference is in baseball. And for the fans in Southern Indiana and Kentucky that that if you haven't seen a college baseball game, whether it be at Louisville or University of Kentucky, you need to do that because the future major league players are playing in those ballparks. They're just really good players. But the teams that could be like the dark horse is, I hate to say this hurts a little bit, but Tennessee. Tennessee has a really good club this year. And on paper, they look sort of like an average, very good Southeastern Conference team, but they have something really special going with that team. I think they won something like 6 or 7 walk-off games. They won one of the games in the regionals with a walk-off grand slam. A guy named Drew Gilbert hit it. And so they've just got something magical going where they, you know, if they're down 4 runs in the 5th inning, don't worry about it. They're going to win. So they've got that going for them. And then another team that I think is very good that is Notre Dame. They're very power-oriented. They have enough pitching, but their strength is the long ball, and they can absolutely crush the ball. So they're a team to keep kind of keep your eye on because they're going to score a lot of runs. So those would be my dark horses, I think. And you know, another interesting story about the SEC teams, Ole Miss. Since we were talking about Donnie Kessinger, they have a player on their team by the name of Tim Elko. This young man tore his ACL late in the season, and instead of having surgery, he's going to tough it out. And he hit 2 grand slams in the regional tournament with a torn ACL.
Wow.
I've had a torn ACL, and it's really amazing that this young man can do that with that injury. So, you know, just for sentimental reasons, I'm hoping that he does well and the Ole Miss Rebels do well. But, you know, with the that 6 teams from the SEC in the Super Regionals, you have to believe that there's going to be a really great representation in the College World Series from the SEC.
We're talking with former Kentucky baseball coach Keith Madison, and a couple questions, and we'll let you go. We appreciate your time. First of all, Gary Henderson is now going to become the head coach at former Kentucky coach. Followed you, I believe, if I've got my flow right. He's at Utah now.
John Cohen was in between Gary and I, but Gary was on the staff with John Cohen. But I'm so excited for Gary because he had sort of an interesting deal. He goes to Mississippi State as an assistant coach, and the coach there gets fired very early in the season because of not anything that happened on the field. It was an off-the-field issue. And Gary takes a team that's really they're disjointed. And he brings them together, and they make it to Omaha, which was a real tribute to Gary. He gets back from Omaha. The next day, he finds out that since he was the interim coach, they're not going to hire him back. So I called him and congratulated him during the World Series. I said, man, you guys made a great run. And he said, yeah, Keith, but I'm sitting on my patio and I don't have a job. I just found out that I'm not going to be hired back. So that was a heartbreak. And then, so he stays out of baseball for about a year, gets a job as an assistant coach at Utah, and then they wisely hired him when their coach retired. They hired Gary to be the head guy. He's going to do a fabulous job there. He's a very smart guy, great pitching guy. And he'll do an outstanding job. They're really happy for him.
Of local interest, LSU job is open, Coach Madison. And Dan McDonald, a friend of yours, has been rumored, for whatever that means, to be a very top candidate there.
Well, I can't think of many guys that would do a better job. I mean, he is a great leader. He's a great baseball guy. He's done a phenomenal job at Louisville. That would be a great hire. But I just heard from a very reliable source that LSU may be hiring Pat Casey, who was a very successful coach at Oregon State and retired and became an administrator, but now it looks like he's getting back in, and it might be at LSU. So the Louisville fans might be able to breathe a sigh of relief because it looks like Pat Casey might be the guy. He won two or three national championships at Oregon State and is a phenomenal guy. Happens to be a good friend of Jim Leopold, who played for me. He's from Dayton, Mike, and
yep,
and you know about him.
He's oh yeah,
an outstanding player for me at Kentucky. But those guys played minor league ball together and are very good friends. But anyway, Pat Casey is the name now that I'm hearing. I don't know if that means that Dan turned them down or what, but boy, what a job. I mean, the LSU baseball job, it's sort of like the Kentucky basketball job. It's you know, they draw 7,000-8,000 fans a game, and that's big for baseball. They have an incredible tradition there. I think they won 5 or 6 national championships, and the support is just phenomenal. So whoever gets that position will be supported in a big league way, and I'm sure they'll have a great success, whether it's Dan or Pat Casey.
Coach, are you going to go out to Omaha this year?
I will be out to Omaha. I'm on the American Baseball Coaches Association board, and we wisely choose Omaha as our site for our board meeting every year during the College World Series. So what about that? We get tickets and everything. So be looking for me behind home plate. I'll be there, and it's a blast. If you guys haven't been, Dan and Mike, you guys need to go. As much as you both love baseball, it would be a treat and an atmosphere like you've never experienced before.
Yeah, that's on my bucket list for sure. Well, Coach Madison, we appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on. And maybe you, if you don't mind, we'll have you back after the College World Series and talk to you about that experience.
I would love it. That'd be a treat for me.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Keith Madison, former coach, and a really, really good guy. I remember, he said I wouldn't remember, but I remember exactly the day we sat there and he was telling me about the baseball. My high school baseball stadium might have been better than where UK played when he was coaching there. But
well, you remember, we used to pass by that when we had the running program in the fall. I played in it on fields in parks in Dayton. Around Dayton that were better than better that. That was awful.
Yeah, but they've got a beautiful facility now down there. As U of L and UK have really upgraded all of their athletic facilities the last 10 years or so.
But how do you gather the fact that LSU could probably attract anybody they wanted? You get 7,000-8,000 people on an average to a college baseball game.
Yeah.
The
Reds don't get that many.
Now, wait a minute.
Michael, I watched the game last night. The Cubs were on early because they had a getaway game in San Diego.
Yeah.
And somehow we beat Yu Darvish. I don't know how.
Now, he used to pitch for the Cubbies.
Yeah, we traded him this year because – you know, we were in a cost-cutting
financial straits.
but anyway, he's having a great year. I mean, his earned run average was around 2, and I think his record going into yesterday's game was 8-3. But the amazing part to me, and I think this is true just about all across baseball, is they put his stats up the first time through the lineup. He's basically unhittable, and he was yesterday. He was perfect through the first three games. The second time through the lineup, it bumps up a little bit. The third time through the lineup, the numbers just go through the roof. And so he's perfect through three innings, and the first pitch he throws in the fourth inning.
Home run.
Peterson hits it out of the park. So somehow we beat Darvish. So I'm watching the Reds, because if the Reds win, if they beat Milwaukee, we go back into first place, we being the Cubs. I promise you, there weren't 8,000 people in the baseball stadium last night in Cincinnati.
Dan, you realize that we have the Reds on this station, don't you?
Well, that's why. But, you know, that's why they don't have more people. Everybody's listening to the game on our stations.
So
you don't have to drive. Did I cover that up?
Yeah. You did a broom job on that one, man. You swept that one right under the rug. There's no question about that. Man, but, hey, we're up against a break here in a minute. I want to get back. We'll talk a little NBA playoffs.
Boy, did my Nuggets stink last night. Holy smokes.
You wonder what kind of Gatorade they were having there.
Oh, was that awful. And, you know, Michael Malone, he...
Did he offend some of these guys?
He might have. You know, you can say a lot of derogatory things about your team, but when you say they quit, that's about the nastiest thing. And Michael doesn't hold any punches. I mean, he went right after him after that game last night.
Boy, I'll tell you what, it's going to be real interesting how they rebound. In Denver for two games.
Yeah.
No, I mean, no. their chances, the chances of the Suns, I believe, winning that series are like 93%. When you win the first two, historically, you got like 93% chance to win. I kind of like that.
Yeah, I like those odds too. What's amazing is for all of the talk and on all of the upsets, this thing is streaking toward having the number one and number two seed in the East and the number one and number two seed in the West playing for the chance to play in the championship series.
All right, Process will take us out. And this is Sports Talk presented by Stockton Mortgage. Dan Issel, Mike Pratt.
Someday when we meet up yonder.
Get ready for Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Willie Nelson. Welcome back to Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage. What would you have in your dream house? The financing might not be as glamorous as a butler's pantry, but it can leave you set up for success or leave you frustrated. The folks at Stockton Mortgage can craft a mortgage that is exactly the right fit for you. Your dream home is just a mortgage away. Go to Stockton.com. What they say at Stockton is true. Find your home and they'll take care of the rest. NMLS number 8259, Equal Housing Lender. What are you doing over there, Michael?
I got one of those phishing texts. You know, when they call phishing, PH, phishing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got one of those, and I just had to look at it. And checking, I've got a lot of people texting me and telling me that that you need to work on your shooting evaluation of players.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Many people said, as good a shooter as you were, you wear that hat on backwards.
Well, we were talking about the Nuggets before we went to break.
Absolutely.
And you talk about shooting. Coach Malone said before the game that they had to be more aggressive. And I guess his players took that to mean they had to shoot the basketball as soon as they crossed half court. They were 1 for 13. Michael Porter Jr. was the worst, and he evidently has had some back troubles. Isn't that what kept him out of Missouri?
I believe so. Back? Yes.
Evidently, he has some reoccurring back problems, and it was kind of questionable whether he would play. Play or not, and they made the wrong decision. They let him play. And so he.
Well, I give the kid credit for playing.
Well,
I mean, you don't have to leave him in as long as he was in.
Yeah, and you don't have to come out if your back's hurting and the first four shots you take are three-pointers either. But they – and, Mike, this three-point thing has gotten so out of hand.
It has.
Half of their shots last night were three-point shots. That's not their game. And they weren't making them. To start with, they took 43
3-point shots. And that's not the way they play. And
are there 43 good 3-point shots in a game?
In a game? Now, how many minutes? Let me ask you this. How many minutes are there in a NBA game?
Well, it's 48, right?
There you go.
Yeah, bingo.
And you take 43. That's one a minute. I mean, it's gotten way out of hand. Now, I understand. I mean, I got a decent education at UK. I understand that 3 is more than 2. I also understand 2 is a whole lot more than 0.
I hear you. You know what? It's so funny. I mean, I listen to people badmouth. Now, just inside the 3-point line, okay, and you take that shot, we'll back up, you know, back up a foot or something.
Yeah.
But if you can get to the elbows or
15-footer.
Yeah. What, take them and make them, right? I'd rather have that than, as you said, 0.
Exactly. And Coach Malone's comments after the game when he said they quit was that when they stopped going when they never started going in the basket, they all moped and of course didn't play defense at the other end. But I think you got to give Phoenix some credit. Chris Paul is playing this team like a great maestro directing an orchestra. He is getting people in the right positions, getting them the basketball. They've won both games in Phoenix, and Devin Booker really hasn't had a what you would call a breakout game yet. I mean, they're getting balanced scoring. Now, the matchup between Nikola and Ayton wasn't as close last night, but he still did a pretty good job.
Ayton.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
So, you know, if that and I was listening. I love listening to the TNT show with Charles and Kenny and Shaq. I can't understand what Shaq is saying. He talks with such a low voice and so calm. I catch about half of what he says. But Charles Barkley, I love Charles Barkley. He is so irreverent, and he says things that nobody else on television could get away with. But he made the point last night, Charles did, that if Nikola doesn't score 35, the Nuggets have no chance. And he's not coming close to scoring 35 in the first two games anyway. So I would say the way the Nuggets are playing right now and the way the Suns are playing right now, it's going to be real tough for the Nuggets to come back.
Well, to your point, 2 points that you made there, the Suns are driving the ball. You know, and Paul is directing the offense, but they're being very aggressive off the bounce. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they're going to shoot their portion of trays, but they're really doing some things off the bounce. And now Ayton is never going to outscore Nikola. Never.
No.
Because he's not going to have the ball that much.
Right.
Okay, he's going to get his points, putbacks, and rim running, things like that, where he can score his points. But he becomes a factor.
Yeah.
And his game is starting to develop, and he's on a big stage right now, and I'm pretty daggone impressed. But your guy has got to play like the MVP. I think that's what Barkley meant.
Absolutely.
He's got to play like
–
if he's the MVP, he's got to play like
And they did get Will Barton back last night, so that's going to help. I think he had 10 points in 16 minutes. And another thing, it would drive me nuts if I coached today. He said Will was upset with him, but he had reached his limit playing time-wise, and he had to take him out of the game. If I've got a kid that's scoring 10 points in 16 minutes, I don't care if he's on one leg. He's staying in the game. I don't care what the medical doctors tell me. He needs to come out. But you know, some of the other play we've talked about before, how this makeshift backcourt has Campazzo and Austin Rivers have played well. They were terrible last night.
They're not even rotation players on a good team.
No.
So you're playing guys in defense of Denver. You're playing guys that really would be your 9, to 15 guy.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. And, yeah. and they're getting major minutes.
Yeah.
And you're asking them to do things that your rotation players would do. That's tough, man.
Yeah. And you know, they didn't get anything out of Gordon last night. And so it I don't know.
Is Gordon the right fit with Nikola?
Yeah, I think,
you think?
I think so because he's pretty mobile.
He's a big guy.
The few baskets he got last night were cut into the basket, and Nikola found him. But you know, we knew going in it was going to be difficult without Jamal, and you know, I was hoping. That they would play better than they did those two games down in. I mean, they played great against Portland, but man, were they terrible last night.
And Gobert, he comes up with a big block the other night. Well, won the game for him.
Yeah.
Okay. So now he wins his third defensive player of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rudy Gobert,
yeah.
The Frenchman.
Absolutely. And the way that Donovan Mitchell's playing, oh my goodness. I wouldn't be shocked whatsoever, although I love the way Chris Paul's playing, and you know Booker's going to score more than 18 points in most games. But the way that Donovan's playing, Gobert erasing all those defensive mistakes behind him, they've got three-point shooters that seem to be pretty consistent. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see Utah come out of the West.
Wouldn't me either. And, you know, we ask Nikola to play like the MVP, but you're saying what we're saying is and seeing what we're saying and seeing is Mitchell. You know, he's building his case on the right platform to be not only an all-star, but possibly be the MVP of the championship series.
Well, remember, go back to the very first game of the playoffs,
yeah.
And he was upset. Again, your medical staff. I wonder how many of those have played an NBA game. The medical staff chose to hold him out of the first game. And he was upset about it, and Memphis won. And he played the second game, and Utah hadn't lost since. So that shows you the difference.
And Connolly's a major piece of that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's a good partner for Mitchell, a teammate, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I
like that team.
I think
that team grows on you.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't have enough chance here to see them play enough
yeah.
because they're on West Coast time
right.
and they're not going to be highlighted. But for the game tonight, Leonard is terrific, and he'll show up. He's proven that. Won a championship with Toronto.
Almost by himself.
Yes, yes. And he really by himself brought this team to this point in these playoffs.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
sixth and seventh game, he was special.
Absolutely.
In the first series. Now, who's going to help him out? I mean, you know, Paul George, you know, I mean, look, all this conversation about Paul George, he left the Pacers, and the conversation about how good he is. Man, he's got to step up and bring you 25 or 30 every game and 8 or 10 rebounds. I mean, come on now.
Well, that was the big criticism last year, Mike. Remember, they had in the bubble – down in Orlando, they had a 3-1 lead on the Nuggets in the playoffs.
Spit the bit.
Exactly. And the Nuggets come back and win three straight. It cost Doc Rivers his job. But if you go back and look, the guy that wasn't showing up was Paul George.
Yeah.
And so you're right. They gave Paul George a lot of money to come play with the Clippers. And he's got to be the compliment. If he doesn't pull his weight, I don't see anybody on that team, on the Clippers team, that is going to make a big enough contribution to support Kawhi.
It's interesting, two Kentucky players, Patrick Patterson, Rajon Rondo, on that team. Patrick not getting a lot of minutes. He's at the tail end of his career.
But, man, he's stuck around a lot longer than I thought he was.
Well, now, you know what? I thought he'd have a long career because he was very durable, big, strong guy, and he could play without the ball. I mean, I never thought he was going to be an all-star, but I thought he'd have a long career. What's he been there, like 14, 15 years?
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah,
a long time.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. But who really has to play for him tonight is Rondo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's amazing. You know, he's not a young pup.
No.
But, boy, defensively, he can still make a difference defensively.
And NBA Lou is working with Ronja's his foundation. And I think there's been some talk that this is going to be his last year. And he's coming back. He lives here in Louisville in the off season. He's going to make Louisville his home. And he's got a basketball camp this summer that the NBA to Lou is going to support. So, but you're right. I mean, there's still some tread on that tire.
Absolutely.
And he has to step up a little bit if they're going to have any hope of beating the Jazz.
Yeah, he's the one guy that you could stick from the Clippers on to Mitchell for a while, okay? It could slow him down a little bit, possibly.
Yeah. No, I think Rondo's a pretty good defensive player still. I mean, at least he can stay between him and the basket.
Yeah, and that's pretty damn important. The other thing he can do is, and he's always, as a coach, you know, he would always take off and get out of the scheme sometimes and try to play the passing lanes. Would come up with steals, but it would probably make you nuts. I know when he was at Kentucky, Tubby was so definitive about he wanted the rotations defensively. But Rajon would always come up with a loose ball or a steal. Did it in the pros in his prime.
Yeah.
And I think it might get down to that. His ability to stay, as you say, between Mitchell and the hoop for a while, not forever, but for a while. And it could make a big difference in the ball game.
And of course, the other game on tap tonight is the Nets and Milwaukee.
Is that a game?
Well, that was going to be my point.
I stole your line?
No. But if Milwaukee, they were awful. Both games against the Nets, and it'll be interesting to see if they show up or if they've decided it's time to go on vacation.
And
I don't think Harden's playing again tonight. I think
nor is Jeff Green.
Both of them. I think I saw that Steve Nash said they're both making progress, but neither one of them would play in Game 3. I wouldn't play him either if I was up 2-0 and had dominated a team like they dominated Milwaukee. I wouldn't play him either.
Save him for the next series.
Absolutely. That's
smart.
Absolutely.
I was looking over some things, and your boy Pat Riley got fined.
Oh, no.
Yeah, got into that. You know, he's worth a few million dollars, and he got fined over the LeBron comments. He made some comment about LeBron, I guess, relating to his unhappiness or maybe losing at L.A. And so Riley says, I should have
stayed where he was.
Oh, yeah. You know, Riley would say that. I would leave the key under the doormat, okay, if he would call me and let me know that he's coming. I would do that, but I doubt very much that the key is rusted now.
So is that a tampering deal?
He got fined.
How much did he get fined?
Oh, let me see here now. Let me just put. Oh,
$25,000.
Oh, that's walk around change.
He can pay that out of his right hand pocket. Pat made a great deal. If this is true, and I can't verify it, but I think it's true. When he went to Miami, part of his contract was for every year he was in Miami, he got 1% of the team. Have you heard that story?
I've heard that, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what's he been there? 15 years?
Oh, yeah.
At least 15 years, which means he now owns 15% of the Miami Heat, which are worth probably $1.5 billion, $2 billion. So that was a pretty smart negotiation that Pat pulled off there.
Yeah, he's done well down there.
Yeah.
He's done well. But
you know, it wasn't by mistake. I mean, Pat works hard at it. When I remember one time when we were playing the Lakers out there, and we had a dear friend to both of us who happened to be in there and watching the game. And so he invited both Pat and I to go out to dinner after the game. And Pat said, no, we play tomorrow night. I got to get home and watch some film. You know, maybe that was just because Pat didn't want to be with me. But that could have been. but Pat worked hard at it. But he also fell into some pretty nice spots. I mean, to become come, your first head coaching job in the NBA
with that crew
is with Showtime and the LA Lakers. That was a pretty good place, pretty good starting off place.
But to your point about he said he had to go back and watch some film. I think one of the underrated things, or one of the overstated, it depends on how you're looking at it. Fans don't believe or don't think the coaches work hard. I mean, I'm going to tell you a story. When I was with the original Charlotte Hornets, Alan Bristow, your guy, was our general manager. And so when he got Gene Littles out of the job so he could coach it, he tells me, he says, well, first of all, he took me to Colorado Springs to watch
The U.S. basketball team.
Yes. So yeah. I'm out there with him and Dave Torzik. Gene doesn't go. Gene said, no, I don't want to be with those guys. So he doesn't go. So I go out. And while we're out there, he asked me point blank, well, what would you keep both Curry and Chapman? Or, you know, I get rid of one of them. Or Doug Moe said something about one of them. And he used that on me. I said, look, let me tell you something. I think we can play with both of them. I said, we need their offense just to make this thing look entertaining, and we're talent short. We can't be trading one of these guys. He goes, oh, okay. And he says, now, again, which one would you trade? I said, why are you asking me? I'm an assistant coach. You ask Gene Littles. So a year later, he cleans house. And he says to me, you know, I never thought you worked hard. He said, because sometimes you weren't in the office. And I said, Alan, I was in the office more than you. Why are you I said, I've got two tape machines and a television in my office in my house, and I watch tape all the time.
Yeah.
He goes, you do? I go, yeah. I take them home. I said, you go in and ask Fletcher Gregory, who was in charge of our taping, if he doesn't provide me with this stuff. He goes, do you think he might give me some of that stuff? And I go, yeah, probably, if you'll ask him, you big dummy. You know?
Yeah,
everybody wants to use that as an excuse. They go like coaches don't work hard, or this guy works harder than the other one. I mean, some coaches try to make themselves out to be – all coaches work hard. Okay, they have to now, day and age.
Yeah, now
you have to.
But I can't believe Bristow said anything about anybody watching tape, because when he was Doug Moe's assistant in Denver, they never watched anything. You know, they might turn a game on at home sometime, but they never had. And I've told this story before. There were two warring factions there. Doug Moe was the coach, Alan and Bill Hanslick. And then on the other side, you had Pete Babcock, who was the general manager, his brother Rob, who was head of scouting, and I was the assistant general manager. And so we spent a lot of time, the Babcocks and I, watching college tape.
Sure.
I mean, we'd stay in the office sometimes, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and Doug and Alan, they wouldn't watch tape number one, but then they'd talk to somebody and come in before the draft and say, we think we ought to take this guy, and have no knowledge of what he was talking about. But I told this story to you off the air yesterday. One of my favorite stories was Larry Brown was coaching the Nuggets, and Doug was the assistant coach. And it was just at that period of time when scouting began. And, you know, you would have a scouting report about a team to go over, and somebody would write it up. And so this era had just started. And so we were going to play the Utah Jazz. And Larry sends Doug Moe to Utah the night before to scout. They played the night before. We're coming to Denver to play the next day. And so Larry was really excited. This is the first scouting report we were ever going to have. And so we get in the locker room. He says, you know, Larry says, now, Doug watched his team last night, and he's going to give a scouting report on what we have to do. And Doug gets up in front of the locker room and says, if you can't beat these stiffs, you ought to give the game up. And sits down. That was that. Come to find out, he didn't even go to Utah.
Doug stayed home.
Yeah, Doug was scared to fly, and I guess there were storms or something in between. And he said that was his scouting report. Larry was so excited he was going to get a scouting report.
And Larry's the guy that probably lived and died with the scouting
report. Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, he's a nuts and bolts. Kind of basketball junkie. So,
which brings me to, I don't question exactly where this has come. This statement or this article I read, Penny Hardaway, who let me say before I go further, one of the great things that Nike did was Little Penny and Big Penny. I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was that promotion, that
now,
commercial. Was
now
the
a
best.
Lot, a lot of our listeners won't know what.
Well,
you're
you got to Google
about,
that.
You got to Google it or go to YouTube. It was a funny series of commercials.
It was great. Now Hardaway's coaching Memphis.
Yep.
Okay. And I don't know if he ever played for Larry Brown or not, but he. But he took that
just
job.
About everybody that was in basketball played for Larry one time or another.
Good point. I apologize. But when he took the job, he ran it out to the press that he wanted to try to bring Larry Brown in as an assistant. Now, I read yesterday or today where he again is selling that line that he's going to try to get Larry Brown to come in and be his assistant.
Mm-hmm.
That ever happened?
I would probably say yes, because I know Larry loves the game. Basketball.
Larry's 80 years old.
I know, but he loves the game. He's one of the great teachers of the game that I ever played for. That's why I always thought that Larry was better suited for the college game than he was the pro game. But if Larry's physically able to do it, and I saw him in Springfield a couple of years ago at the Hall of Fame, and he looked terrific to me. He had a great line. He said, I feel great. He said, I think I keep myself in pretty good shape. He said, I've just quit looking in the mirror. And so I thought that was a great line because, as you get older, you look in the mirror and you say, what the heck happened here?
Where did time go?
So he quit looking in the mirror. But I would guess that if they offered Larry that job, he might take it. He might.
That would be very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Because Vandy's got a couple former NBA player with Stackhouse and other people.
Curry.
Other people are trying to, hire guys with basketball backgrounds. And Larry Brown's got a huge basketball background.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it'd be a nice addition. Larry would, I'm sure Larry would love to do it if he's physically able. But we'll see where that goes.
Well, this has been Sports Talk. Dan Issel,
did you
Mike
forget,
Pratt, and
did
Larry
you forget
Brown.
Did you forget what it was there for a minute?
Stockton Mortgage, Sports Talk. Dan Issel, Mike Pratt, and Larry Brown.
See you tomorrow, everybody.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.